Coach, that's what the girls at the end of the Martin Luther High School Spartans girls basketball team were telling Bill Schroeder to tell Dave Bangert. Whether or not he conveyed that message for them, I don't know. But he is still our favorite former high school assistant basketball coach, and more importantly, our favorite when it comes to talking Brewers. It is Bill Schroeder on Wilde and Tausch. Bill, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Fired up, man. I can't wait to get to the ballpark today and, get to, smell the grills and see all that. Nothing like October baseball here in Wisconsin. I can't wait.
Are you at all nervous, given the way the past several years have gone for our guys in the postseason?
I'm not nervous. I'm not looking back. I mean, this is a completely different group, different manager. I think Pat Murphy has done an outstanding job bringing all these young guys throughout the year to where they're at right now. Did you ever imagine? I know, and I'm one of the most positive guys in the world. I didn't ever imagine going into spring training that these guys would have been going away, winners of the division and winners of 93 games. I was stunned. And I think it's a tribute to these young kids. And the reason why nobody was really giving them a chance was because they're so young. They all performed beautifully. I mean, Jackson Churio from June 1st until the present has been unbelievable. And, that was the old Brewers. That was years ago. I mean, it's been great success for the Brewers, but I think that this team has something special. They have power. They have speed. They have defense. The pitching's been fantastic. Bullpen is healthy. I'm excited. I think they can go a long way.
Bill, is this the most enjoyable season for you because of the things you just mentioned, the newness, and you got all these young guys and the expectations? Where would you rank this season as far as in your 30 years illustriously that you've been doing this?
Yeah, it's hard to put it really and rank them, but 2018 was certainly a magical year. Getting into the NLCS and one game away from the World Series and all of that. And I think this is the most surprising year that I've ever had here as a broadcaster, for the Brewers, with expectations. Maybe a 500 season would have been good going into the season. But the way these guys have performed and the way the defense, look at this defense. I mean, there are two infielders that really have really surprised everybody. Is Joey Ortiz at third base and Bryce Turang at second base. These guys have been unbelievable to watch on a daily basis. It seems like both of them are making great plays on a daily basis. The outfielders taking away home runs and making throws in, and just the way they're winning. I mean, come from behind victories and 1-0 wins and 12-10 wins and all this kind of stuff. It's been, you just never know what you're going to see at the ballpark. What encapsulates the team was that last Sunday against the Diamondbacks, where they were down 8-0. They had really no reason to, panic or anything. They had already won a division. They come back and win that game down 8-0. That's something you don't see every day. I think Ricky Weeks has had a lot to do with the mentality of his team and the toughness. Because, when Ricky was here, there's not a tougher guy mentally or physically that I've ever seen, in a Brewer uniform. And I think he has really imparted a lot of that toughness on this team. And Pat Murphy likes to say the undaunted thing, and that's a great way to describe this team. They don't seem to get their heads down. They don't seem to be affected by a whole lot day to day, and that's a tribute to Pat Murphy and the coaching staff.
But what has Willy Adames meant to this team? I mean, it's obviously been a great pickup, what he's been able to do. But I loved the fact that Murph kind of pulled him out and let the fans mm-hmm. show him some love, being that, the odds are he's not going to be back next year. We don't know for sure. But what has he meant to the overall clubhouse?
Well, not only to the club, but I think the fan base. I think the people that work at the ballpark, me and Brian and Levering and Duke. And I mean, he has time for every single person that comes up to him. And it's not like, in passing, "Hi, Rock, how you doing?" He will stop. He'll look you in the eye. He'll shake your hand. He'll give you a firm handshake, even if he's in a hurry to go get somewhere. But, say what you want. I mean, everything on the field, that's an obvious thing, the 100-plus RBIs. the 30-plus homer. The fact that he played, he started every game but one this year. I mean, that speaks volumes. I mean, you love to see a guy that wakes up in the morning, goes to the ballpark, and expects to play. And that's something you don't see a whole lot of. You don't see guys play every game in the big leagues anymore. That's a special thing. But what he does for everybody around him. I mean, Willy Adames, I mean, there was a few homestands ago. The Brewers had a pretty good homestand. I forget who they were playing, but he had a hitless homestand. And it was like something like 0 for 13, 0 for 14, made a couple of errors. And you would never know the fact that he did not have a good series or a good homestand by the way he handled himself, the way he was rooting for his teammates, the way he always had a smile on his face. So that is a true leader, a guy that, you know, cares more about those around him than you know, what he actually does on the field. He's got a lot of pride in what he does, but he really makes everybody around him a lot better.
Billy, I'm curious about your scouting report on the Mets since they were just in town. And it's like deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say. But how do you feel about this matchup? Tausch was suggesting earlier that if the MLB allowed teams to pick their matchups instead of just being bracketed, that he would have picked the Braves. You're not in charge of making those type of picks. So how do you feel about the matchup, and what do you see in this matchup?
Well, I like the fact that the Brewers are facing the Mets. You know, I was a little bit nervous about Arizona waltzing on in here again, like they did last year. I mean, you know, Arizona did a number on the crew at the end of the season this year, winning 3 out of 4, and almost swept that series had the Brewers not been able to come back. But, you know, the starting pitching for the Mets has been tremendous, and it's been there all year. And Luis Severino, today's starter for the Mets, has had a good season. Although, you know, Freddie Peralta has been just as good. The numbers are very similar. But, you know, the Mets, they have Francisco Lindor. And if the Brewers are able to control that guy, I think they're going to be in good shape. They did a pretty good job against Pete Alonso. That's not an easy thing to do. I mean, he can break out and hit home runs at any time. The Mets' defense has not been very good this year. And I will say this, you know, the fact that the last couple of days, Sunday and Monday, their closer Diaz has thrown 60 pitches. I'm not quite sure why the Mets decided to pitch him on Sunday with a 5-0 lead. I'm not quite sure why they did that, knowing that, you know, they were going to go into Atlanta and maybe have to have him pitch in both ends of a doubleheader. Who knows? But he threw a lot of pitches yesterday. He will probably not be available today, and you don't know what his effectiveness is going to be on Wednesday. So I think the Brewers have an advantage in the bullpen for sure. It's just a matter of whether the Brewers are going to be able to, you know, get the hits when they need them. You know they're going to be running wild. I mean, it's one of those things where that's something that the teams that they've been playing this year just can't defend, their team speed and their wiliness on the bases. It's been a lot of fun. So I like the matchup. I like it much more than I would have liked to see the Diamondbacks come in here. But whether it's the Mets or the Braves, I don't think it really matters to anybody.
And when you look at where the Brewers pitching staff is set up for this series, how do you feel about how that falls?
That's great. I mean, Freddie Peralta, I mean, this is a guy that he got 200 strikeouts. So he's got 200 strikeouts his last start. I mean, he has been one of the most reliable starters in the big league. He has not missed a start since August of 2022. So when you have his name down as a starter in a series, you know he's going to make that start. And he's been throwing the baseball pretty well. Now, Freddie's got to be able to manage his pitch count a little bit. One thing that Freddie gets in trouble with, he'll get ahead in the count, then he'll try to make that perfect pitch, end up with full counts, a lot of foul balls. So I think if he stays aggressive and doesn't try to get the big strikeout all the time and let the ball get, you know, when you have a defense like the Brewers have, putting the ball in play is not a big deal. I mean, because if it's going to stay in the ballpark, the outfielders are going to grab it. The infielders have been outstanding. But and then you got Frankie Montas. He and Savali have changed the whole landscape in this starting rotation. Once those guys came over here, they have really calmed down that starting rotation. Before they came around, the Brewers had 17 different starters, and yet they were able to win the division by almost 10 games. So, you know, Montas, I like him, a veteran guy. I mean, he has been through the wars before, as has Aaron Savali. So I like it. I mean, it depends. You don't know how it's going to work out. If the Brewers win today, it's going to be Montas. Now, if the Brewers don't win today, it's going to be all hands on deck. You might see the entire bullpen game because it's going to be a short leash for anybody. So I like the pitching. The starting pitching keeps the game, Brewers in the game, but I love the Brewers bullpen over the Mets bullpen for sure.
Talking with Bill Schroeder, as we love to do, as the Brewers get ready for their playoff opener today. Game one against the Mets at AmFam Field, first pitch at 4:32. All right, Bill, two more things before we let you go, because I know you're excited to get to the stadium and get to work. One, Jesse had a stat earlier, which, I mean, when Jesse actually delivers research, it's kind of an unexpected surprise and a positive one, but it did kind of highlight why he is nervous, and that is game one is so important. Jesse, what was the stat? 13 of the 16 series have been 2-0 sweeps?
Yep, 13 of 16 have been 2-0 sweeps between 2020 and then 22 and 23. 14 of the 16, the team that wins game one, has gone on to win the series.
So today's kind of a big one, huh, Billy?
Well, no doubt. I mean, you don't want to be behind the eight ball anyway. I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure how you can dispute those numbers, but
they might not be accurate. We just want to make sure. Don't use those on the broadcast tonight, Bill, because we're not 100% sure Jesse's research is up to par.
Well, actually, you know, I'm going as a fan today because it's all network stuff. We're on ESPN today. You know, it's like, you know, we get the team through the entire season, and then they kind of just kick us to the side.
Oh, but, that's not very nice.
I know that's the way baseball is. But anyway, I'm going to be there, and you know, the first pitch is actually, for me, is the most important. You know, the Brewers have asked me to catch the two first pitches today. Jim Gantner, number one.
Wow.
I'm going to be out there catching. Now, I know I can handle Gantner. I don't think I'm going to be. But the second first pitch is going to be Brandon Woodruff. So I am going to be. I'm going to be handing, you know, Woody a C note. Not that the C note's a big deal for him, but I hope he takes a little bit off. I'm hoping he's not going to be firing some 97, 98 in on me because I'll end up watching the game with an ice bag on my eye. So,
are you getting down in the crouch?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Are your knees in a good spot?
Well, you know what I think I'm going to do? I mean, you watch the way these guys are catching these days. Maybe get on one knee. I think I'll get on one knee because I think that, you know, the right knee is kind of a little tender these days. I'm not quite sure how it happened. I think it was a fishing accident that I had. I kind of slipped down, but anyway, I'm going to do my best, and I'm praying that Brandon Woodruff takes a little bit off, maybe throws a changeup to me. So, I'll be able to enjoy the rest of the series.
Go a little Tony Pena, where you got that leg all the way out.
Yeah, I don't think I'd get up from that. I'll need help. I'll need help. There's no way that's happening. No.
Well, we will. We will bring you back the next time Tausch and I start randomly naming 1980s major league catchers, which we love to do.
Ron Hassie. Yeah. Ron Hassie. Yeah.
Here we go.
I might break up an old set of the knee sailors. Remember those things the guys had on the back of their
shoes? Yeah, the back of their
legs. To save the knees. I might see if you know, Jason Schauger, the Brewers equipment guy, maybe has a couple of those laying around. We'll see.
Yeah, I love those. I didn't have the most powerful legs, so that was a good rest when I was catching. All right, Bill, one more thing. If you're going as a fan, who are you sitting with? Like, does Levering have to work? Brian Anderson going to be there? Do you guys sit there and then kind of do the game from your row? Like, who are you sitting with, and what are you like as a fan?
Well, I'm going with my wife. I'm going to be sitting in the Miller suite with a bunch of my buddies. But, you know, in the second round of the playoffs, I'm going to be sitting in my seats right in front of the broadcast booth. And I don't know, maybe bring the grandkids. We'll see. But I am planning on having a blast. I don't get to the ballpark as a fan all that much. Every time the Brewers are in the playoffs, of course. But, you know, when the kids were young, even before their Martin Luther High School days, you know, they'd have field trips, and we would sit in the upper deck in the 400 level. And that's quite the experience up there. It was not a bad seat in the house, but we used to go with the kids, you know, to the games every now and again up in the 400 level. That was quite the treat.
All right, we'll let you go on this. You mentioned Gantner that you're going to catch the first pitch from. Have you and I know you arrived a year after this team did what it did in 82, but have you gotten to see just a bit outside the documentary about the 82 Brewers?
I have. You know, when they put that that movie together, they sent us all a link to watch that. I watched it twice. Amazing, amazing movie. If you don't, if you're any kind of a baseball fan or a Brewer fan, you got to go out and see that. That is an amazing thing. They did a great job. You know, you had Pete Vukovich and Ted Simmons, all those guys, you know, Gorman and Gantner. And it's just, you know, just sound bites from those guys. And they encapsulated that 1982 season beautifully. And every now and again, and I'm not a guy that does this a whole lot, I maybe had to wipe a little tear from my eye when I saw Harvey Keene and Audrey. So, those two meant an awful lot to that 82 team. And it was good to see them. But what a fantastic, fantastic movie that was. And I urge everybody to go out and check it out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Bill, the emotions of Robin at the end of it, without giving too much away, because I know Kelly texted me yesterday and it's in four or five more theaters. It's doing great. So with the baseball, but the emotions of Robin at the end is what kind of got me.
Yeah, and you don't really see that from a lot of these guys, right? It gives you an idea how much not only that season meant to them, but how much they all meant to each other. And you know, and I see a lot of that. I see not the same quite. But I see a lot of that with this Brewers team this year.
All right, Billy, we appreciate your time. Hopefully we'll talk to you again further down the playoff road, and I'll see you at Fantasy Camp.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. That was great. We got to get you back, but anytime you guys want me on, just call. I'd love to have it.
All right. You're the best, man. Thank you for your time. That is the great Bill Schroeder.
Yeah,
we love it.
Bill would do if Jesse finds out where he's sitting at these games, and Jesse goes down and just starts doing play-by-play right behind his ear.
Hey, along with Bill Schroeder, it's Jesse
here
Nelson
Bill,
here.
Bill's
game
looking
one.
Like, son of a...
Brewers-Mets.
That'd be fun. That would be great.
Don't tempt me, Bill.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize he was still there when you suggested this.
Hey, but no recording, though, because I'm planning on having a couple of pops while I watch the game.
Hey, Bill, who's the tavern of the game today?
That'd be great.
Right, Billy, guys, we love you, man. Thanks.
See you too. See you. Bye.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize.
I didn't know
he
was still on. I'm certainly glad he was.
Yes. Oh, my God. I don't know how
that
we recover.
100%. Jesse would go out of his way. That would be really fun. I think you should do it.
Not for Bill and his wife.
For everybody. Only fun for Jesse.
Hey, Bill, nice to meet you. The 1-1 to Ortiz. Ooh.
Earlier this broadcast, I said something, and there's a swing and a drive by Adamas.
Let's go over to Sophia in section 103.